It's time to swing into the golf world of today with Springdale Golf Live. Sponsored by our friends at the New Jersey Golf Foundation. Here's your host, Keith Stewart.
Members, friends, and players, good afternoon. Welcome to Springdale Golf Live. I'm Keith Stewart. Let's have some fun this Friday afternoon. Yeah, I'm down in West Palm, no longer at Riviera. Next month with Sergio at Augusta forever. And the new Koepka, press room with no fear. Spieth hits it everywhere. He's lost his steely stare. Needs to play like Jon Rahm, Golf TV in Tiger Woods. Rory right down Broadway. Pull me back to Graham McDowell in a major spot. Winning at Pebble Beach. Catch Phil on the practice range wearing flops and skinny jeans. Pauline is on the 18th. Short white dresses. DJ's a little slow, but his game is on top. Yes, me, I'm a style guy wearing some bead ready. Now I'm on with Fleetwood. Henrik's got some cats for me. Yes, it's Springdale Live. Still singing my lines. Luke from Golf Magazine. He's on the phone live. Well, I leave no doubt. I'm your host, MC. Golf is doing great. Most definitely. Ho-ho-ho! Al Brooks.
Yes, sir.
There you go. How about that one, huh?
I need to take a deep breath after that one. What a way to start today's show. Fantastic.
As did I. You know, I was, I call that a PGA state of mind right there.
You are the hidden
rapper. Oh, yeah. Hidden being the key word in that sentence there.
Or maybe the unwrapper.
Yes. Well, folks, once again, I'm Keith Stewart. I'm your host at Springdale Golf Live. We're on Fox Sports 920, The Jersey. And folks, if you can't hear us on the radio today at 920 a.m., certainly get on 920thejersey.com and just hit that listen live button. And you know, the show wouldn't be possible, Al, without obviously the beats of Jay-Z and the beautiful melodies of Alicia Keys supplying our song of the week, which is Empire State of Mind, and much thanks to them. And I'm in an Empire State of Mind today.
You are.
But before I get there, and before I get to our special guest, I would be remiss if I didn't mention our fabulous sponsors of the show, certainly our lead sponsor, the New Jersey Golf Foundation, but also Summit Golf Brands, and our folks over at FH Wadsworth, who take care of my belts. Those guys, Jimmy, I love Jimmy D. He's great, and I know he's listening in New York City, so I'm sure he's in an Empire state of mind. But I'm in a PGA state of mind, and one of the reasons is that as a PGA professional, I'm always about the golf's pop culture.
Oh, yeah.
And in getting into golf's pop culture this week, I found a gentleman who I've been following online, and this guy, he's unique and he's fun. And his name is Luke Kerr-Dineen, and he's the instructor editor for Golf Magazine, and they got a lot going on over there these days.
Right.
So, you know, I hit him up online on social media and I said, Luke, you know, do you want to come on the show? So, Luke Kerr-Dineen, welcome to Springdale Golf Live. How are you today?
Oh, I'm great. I'm even better after that fantastic rap. So I'm fully in the mood now. So thanks for having me.
Hey, well, you know what? That's how we do it here at Springdale Golf Live. We have a lot of fun. You know, my title is the director of fun over at Springdale Golf Club, and I have to live up to it each minute of each and every day. And my man Al Brooks, producer on the board, he inspires me week in and week out, and hopefully we've inspired you to have a fun conversation today. So welcome. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, okay. So, as I mentioned in the opening, you are the instruction editor for Golf Magazine. How did you end up being the instruction editor at Golf Magazine? I could tell a little bit by your accent that you're not from New Jersey.
Not from New Jersey originally, no. I'm from England originally. Grew up in London. That's where I fell in love with golf. But I came over to America in high school, where I went to the International Junior Golf Academy down in South Carolina. So I was there all through high school, played college golf, and, you know, golf has always just been this thread throughout my life that has just been such a passion of mine. After college, I moved up to New York to go to graduate school where I was studying journalism, and from there, I it was really this marriage of my two things, digital media and golf. First, I worked at Golf Digest, and I hopped over to USA Today, where I was a golf writer and editor over there. And then I had this fantastic opportunity to come aboard as the instruction editor at Golf Magazine and Golf.com towards the latter part of the year. And it's so many exciting things ahead. It was just too good to turn down.
Well, I'm glad you brought the timeline up for my listeners. So you are the instruction editor for Golf Magazine. How did you end up being the editor of instruction and not maybe travel or one of the other different topics that they cover?
Absolutely. So, you know, I've been a swing nerd my entire life. I was, like I was saying, I went to a golf academy growing up. I've been taking lessons from instructors all over the country, especially in the Southeast, which is where I moved to when I moved over to America. And it's just been, I've always been a swing nerd throughout my entire life. It's just been something that I've always been so fascinated in, why people can do things to the golf ball in different ways and how the body moves and biomechanics and all these different things. So, you know, I wrote a lot about instruction while I was at Digest and at USA Today. I found ways to work it in. And this was really just such an incredible opportunity to come aboard in this capacity at Golf.com and Golf Magazine.
Well, you know, you keep bringing up this concept of digital media. So I found a quote from Luke Kerdanine. And folks, that's who we're talking to today. And he's the instruction editor for Golf Magazine. And you said, what gets me going is digital media. I love figuring out people like content and why ideas fly through social media and the web. And he goes, that's what drives me the most, right? So one of the reasons I caught on to you is that I love your perspective on the game. And one of the cool stories you have to tell my listeners is the post that you made. First time you did it, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, was at the Hero World Challenge. But then you did it again this weekend in Mexico, is that you love to watch DJ warm up for a tournament. Take my listeners through that story and that tweet that you put out.
Yeah, so it's fantastic. And if you head over to Golf.com and Golf Magazine, you'll see, as you were saying, a series of these things. The most recent installment is an article about Dustin Johnson, where I basically just tracked him for the entirety of his warm-up down right before his first round of the Hero World Challenge. And it was such a hilarious and rewarding experience because, you know, DJ, he sort of has this, you know, cool cat sort of character on tour. Golf fans think so, but when you actually see what he's doing to warm up for a round in the flesh, it really, he lives up to it and more. He was, you know, it was just the most laid back session I've ever seen in my life. He hit a few wedges and he talked and he, you know, talk some more, and then he'd hit maybe one more wedge, and then he'd talk and he'd relax, and yeah, he just looked like, you know, this is him warming up before a tournament round, and he looked like he didn't have a care in the world. And it was just so funny to see this guy in his own element, but be just being so relaxed and taking everything in his stride along the way. He was bragging with Bubba Watson that he could swing it faster left-handed than Bubba could, and it was just hilarious stuff all around.
Well, I tell you, it was hilarious, and it struck me as so funny, and I'm definitely one of those people that will laugh out loud with no one in the room, and the first time I read that perspective, I was hysterical, and my wife came running in from, Lori, she comes running in from the other room, she's like, what are you watching? I said, I'm not watching anything. I said, I'm just reading this guy's take about Dustin Johnson's warm-up for like the final round of a tournament that he's leading, and he's leading by like 4 or 5 shots, and he doesn't even care. Like, 2 minutes of leaning on his bag, and then his cat he forgot their track, man. I mean, this stuff was priceless. It's great. And you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of kind of the new look you guys got going on there at Golf Magazine. And maybe this is part of the inspiration, but one of the things while you're on as one of their editors I wanted to talk about is the work that, you know, Howard Milstein's doing over there at Golf Magazine, and everyone's seen the new issue. And if you haven't, it's on better paper. It's kind of almost looks like the New Yorker. It's really a fine piece of literature that it looks like. You know, how did that process start? Where did the inspiration come from? Talk to me about what's going on over there at Golf Magazine.
Yeah, you know, it's really exciting times over here. I came over post-acquisition. Howard had bought the company early last year, and I came over towards the late last year. And from day one, there was just this sense that he wanted to instill and Golf Magazine and Golf.com as the premier destinations in golf, period. And it's just this striving for excellence that he has just been instilling in all of us from day one. And it's been such a rewarding and inspiring process to be a part of. You know, you've seen the new magazine, you see the new website, there's more stuff in the pipeline. And, you know, it really is that we want to be the only best destination in golf, period. And I think that we're starting to make moves down that road, and it's just been so rewarding from our perspective.
So now talk about making moves, right? This is still a print magazine, and we live in a multimedia world. In fact, I said that quote about that you said earlier, you love talking about or kind of devising digital content and to see how it spreads throughout the social web. And so what are you guys doing on a multimedia front to try to engage this next generation golf consumer?
Absolutely, because like you said, you know, I'm from the generation that doesn't remember life before the internet. You know, this is, we're in a multi-platform world, and this is just how it is now. And that's, and it's such an amazing and exciting time to be a part of media, generally speaking, because it's not confined to one platform, right? It's confined to everything. There's all kinds of stuff that we're working on. You could see the relaunched Golf, Golf.com and Golf Magazine. You go on the website. It's just a, I think it's reflective of the print product in a really premier and pristine way. There's all kinds of things that I can't talk about quite yet that are in the pipeline that is just going to bring golfers' user experience just to the moon. It's going to be incredible and something I think a lot of golf fans aren't used to seeing, frankly. But you know, like I was saying, this is you know, we're very much a digital media first, social first company, and that's informing everything we do on a day-to-day basis.
Well, one thing's for sure here on Springdale Golf Live, Fox Sports 920, the Jersey, we're even in a Jay-Z state of mind, you know, so you never know what's going to come at you on any given Friday afternoon. Folks, and what's coming at you today is Luke Kerr Dineen. He's the instruction editor for Golf Magazine. And back in 2017, the News Media Alliance named him a rising star, right? He's from England, came to South Carolina, then went to school in South Carolina, Columbia Journalism School, and now he's in an Empire State of Mind. You like that, Al?
I
keep working in the song of the week, right?
Yes, you do.
And, you know, one of the things I want to get you to talk about here is that a lot of people think golf lacks interest these days. What's your reaction to that comment?
You know, I think I think that's something that's been that sort of mindset's been painted by the broader media. You know, it's a very easy story to write. Like, golf is dying, golf is too stuffy, yada yada. Of course, like, just like every sport, the golf industry has some challenges, right? Like, it needs to figure out cheaper ways to be more accessible. Like, it takes too long, it's too expensive. But I think we're starting to see solutions to those problems. You know, one of the companies that is owned by our parent company, TrueSpec, is a fantastic example of that. It's a completely digital, it's a digital club fitting experience where you show up and you're hitting balls into a simulator and you're getting your equipment dialed in. There's another company under our umbrella, Swing AI, where basically you send in your swing and they grade it and then they send you back digitized, personalized lessons. So I don't know if, I think these are sort of part of the solution that brings golf to that broader audience, right? That no longer the only way you can play golf is if you're a member of a high-end country club that not everybody can afford. Now we can bring golf to all kinds of people in all kinds of different ways. And I think that's going to be really the key to unleashing the game's potential moving forward.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, multi-platform, multimedia, those are some of the most common words that we use on this show all the time. A couple of weeks ago, we had Alex Kaplan on, who's the president of Discovery Golf. You know, we had Eric Anders Lang on, who's a filmmaker making just really, really cool golf movies, trying to engage a different audience. And you know what? Speaking of engaging a different audience, there's one tradition that I have with all of my guests. And before we head into break, I certainly want to take advantage of letting my listeners get to know a little bit more about you, Luke. All right. So we love to do a little rapid fire Q&A. It's a tradition here, and I hope you're game for it, because I'm gonna throw some fun questions at you so my listeners can learn a little bit more about your multi-platforms in your personal life. You good for this? You ready?
Oh, lay it on me. I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. Favorite Masters winner?
Oh, Nick Faldo, of course. Oh,
there we go. All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, rate your hot sauce tolerance.
Ooh, I'm like a low 6, I think.
A low 6? All right. Left or right-handed?
Right-handed.
All right. Who's the best golfer, Tiger or Jack?
Tiger.
All right. iPhone or Android?
Android. Recently switched.
Oh, interesting. We got a little peek there into your world. Pancakes or waffles?
Big waffle guy.
Oh, all right. Very good. Favorite club in your bag?
My putter's my least favorite. Probably the good solid 6-iron is my favorite.
All right. Name a guilty pleasure.
Oh, chocolate. I can't get enough of it. Eat it all day.
All right. Bungee jump. Yes or no?
Yeah, I'd go bungee jumping.
All right. Good man. I like this. Describe your writing in two words.
Effective, simple, I think.
Effective and simple. Well, you know what, Mr. Luke Kerr-Dineen? You have been effective, and you have been far from simple. I think that, you know what, your multi-platform strategy over there at Golf Magazine and Golf.com is really intriguing, and one of the reasons why it put me in an empire state of mind today to have you on and hopefully inspire you and your team over there a little bit. And, you know, maybe we get Ashley Mayo's attention at some point too, right? You know, having a rap star over here in New Jersey that's also a PGA professional might make her feed someday. You never know, right?
You never know. Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. And yeah, Ashley's part of the Brain Trust over here, is doing incredible things. So I'm so excited. I'm so grateful that you gave me the time to talk about it. So thank you again.
Luke, you and I will be in touch. Thanks for being on Springdale Golf Live. Really appreciate it. Folks, it's 3:15 p.m. here in Princeton. Thanks for listening. Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
The New Jersey Golf Foundation, the charitable arm of the NJPGA section, is committed to positively impacting lives and communities through the game of golf. With a focus on three core pillars, youth, military, and special needs, the NJGF delivers dynamic programming under the guidance of PGA professionals, so individuals from all backgrounds can experience the game of golf in a welcoming environment. To support the NJGF or learn more about programs and special events, visit njgolffoundation.org. That's njgolffoundation.org. Let's get back on course as Springdale Golf Live continues on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Once again, Keith Stewart.
Welcome back to Springdale Golf Live. I'm Keith Stewart. You're listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. That's Alicia Keys, Jay-Z. You know, that's the song of the week, Empire State of Mind. Of course, I made up my own version in the opening half. And
yes,
if for some reason you want to go back to that and embarrass me further, Al Brooks, you got to go and you got to get to our podcast site on Podbean, or you have to go on iTunes or Google Play and search Springdale Golf Live. And without a doubt, that will be there forever for people to have a good time with and enjoy. You know, it's all about when I'm the director of fun, Al, and
you have to live up to your name.
I have to. And
that's
I knew
right.
I had it, you know, like Golf Magazine, they got some cool things going on over mm-hmm. there. And I figured, you know what? I'm going to show them just how cool our PGA professionals are here in New Jersey,
right.
Specifically Princeton,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is definitely known for a high level of coolness.
It is,
you know, khaki pants
we know that
and
now.
Such. Yes. Yes. Preppy cool, I guess. All right. I don't know how many preppy cool, happy Princeton people there would be with me throwing down some Sean Carter. But you know what? Hey, it's fun. It's fun. We're having
That's
a good
right.
time. And you know what? I really enjoyed having Luke on and having a fresh perspective about what's going on over there at Golf Magazine. And mm-hmm. you know what? I mean, kudos to them for what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
But all of these golf entities, you know, the folks at Golf Week, they're doing a tremendous job getting these stories out here. You know, I saw something really cool that Golf Week did where they're starting to do live coverage of streaming commentary for college events.
Hmm.
So, you know what? Big applause to them for their efforts to try to promote the game at the college level. I mean, college football is very popular.
It
college
sure
basketball
is.
About to be super, super popular.
Oh, yeah.
So I think Golf Week's doing some really cool things over there, which I think is extremely neat. And I think that, you know, Luke's a little bit of a character online. You can tell by his story. I mean, when you read the tweet about him observing DJ's warm-up, it's literally like, you know, 8:03 to 8:04, DJ stands still. 8:04 to 8:07, DJ smiles. You know, it's unbelievable. I mean, and here's this guy who, like, if it were me and I was warming up with like a one shot lead
right.
on the final day of a tournament, you know, I would be like, oh man, like hitting 1,000 balls, thinking like, how's this thing not going to fall apart?
Sweat coming down the forehead.
Exactly.
All
exactly.
Right.
And this guy's like, hey, somebody go get me a Coke, whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
he's
right.
like, he's all good.
Yeah, I can do this.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And
good
you know,
stuff.
Speaking of which, you know, he went out and he won last week the World Golf Championship down in Mexico, and he beat the the field by five and, you know, cashed into like a little $1.7 million. Shot 66-66 on the weekend. And, you know, the one guy I was thinking about was Rory McIlroy, who came in second, who lost by five. But the third place guy was five shots behind Rory. So on any other week, Rory wins like $1.1 million. He beats the field by five, and he's thinking to himself, man, I'm the king of the world, you know? And unfortunately, that was not his week down in Mexico. Yeah. But kudos to DJ. I think he's on Monday, he mathematically becomes the number one player in the world, which is a pretty cool thing. And so last week's Mexico, this week we're down at the Honda Classic. And one of the things that I want to talk about, and currently who's leading down at the Honda? Down at the Honda, we have a couple guys tied at minus six. Oh, look, Lucas Glover. We're going to talk about him a little later. He's at five under. Sam Kang. Johnny Vegas yesterday. Yesterday's leader, he's at five under, tied for third. And we got a whole mix of guys in there. Brooks Koepka, minus three. He's out there on the golf course right now. And you heard about him a little bit earlier in the Keith Stewart Rapathon. But one of the things that happens every week that I want to talk about is that on Mondays, there's a qualifying tournament for that week's PGA Tour event. And there's a guy from New Jersey, his name's Lou Stegner, and he has a Twitter account. And on his Twitter account, he monitors the fields and who makes it into these PGA Tour events. So everyone wants to play in a PGA Tour event. Anyone that's a professional golfer like myself, Al, our goal, our dream is to play in at least one PGA Tour event to prove to ourselves that we're good enough and that we made
it. You can do it, right. Yep.
So let's just say I get the bag out, throw it in the back of my Jeep, I drive over, and I'm going to Palm Beach Gardens to PGA National, and I'm going to go try for the Monday qualifier. Who's in the field, one might think? You know, how easy is it to qualify? They're going to take four people. So four people, so I could shoot 65 or 66 or maybe 68, and I should be fine, right? Not a problem. Well, I love Lou's take on this whole thing, because he looks at it in such a way that it's like, if you think you're good, then there's Monday qualifying, right? So listen to these statistics, Al. These are great. Last week at the Honda Classic, in the field of guys trying to just get in, 100-something guys trying to get in for four spots, there were 24 different players in that qualifying field with a PGA Tour win. 11 of those players had more than one win on the PGA Tour previously.
Okay,
these are guys that no longer have status, but yet had already won on the PGA Tour.
Right.
11 of them multiple times. There was 47 total wins in the field. So, you know, I'm just slinging my bag, pull it out of my trunk, I walk up there, and then here you go. Half the PGA Tour that doesn't have status is standing there just waiting for me, right? Yeah. For four spots, right? Winning money. This is a good one. There's three guys that are on the range with me that have earned more than $20 million in their career on the PGA Tour. Now, see the look you just gave me, right?
I did, yes.
Three guys with more than $20 million in career earnings, right? There's six guys on the range with more than $10 million, and there's 13 guys on the range with more than $5 million. Right? Okay. But that's okay, because they're going to take four guys.
Right.
We'll be good with four. Yeah. All right? Those guys are going to take the other three spots. I got my spot, right? It's under control. I got this under control. Oh, wait. Let's just talk about experience. Does experience? Because maybe the money, they just got lucky a couple years, right? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about experience, if experience is any measure. Okay.
I'm sure it is.
There was two on the range that had more than 500 starts on the PGA Tour.
Okay.
And they no longer have status.
Right.
There was three with more than 400 starts. And there was 11 with more than 200 starts. I mean, seriously. Come on. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go slap down my money and I'm going to go Monday qualify.
Yep.
Okay. Against who?
Yeah.
Where? Right? I mean, come on. And of course, this is the PGA Tour, but it's like this week in and week out, folks. And I just thought the Honda Classic, it was just a good time to throw this story in and have some fun. We've been having some fun all day here.
Yep.
And so you might ask, say, well, how did it work out? Al, great question.
That was my next question.
Okay. So two guys shot 65, which on that particular golf course where they qualified, not the one where they're playing the tournament, was six under for the day. And those two guys got in right away.
Right.
And then there was a seven-way tie at 66, of which they could only take two people. So it took all day for everyone to play just the qualifying round. So those seven guys for those two spots had to come back the next morning and play to try to earn their way into the tournament. Now, granted, this is Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
We're talking about Monday qualifying. This is Tuesday morning qualifying.
Right.
And the thing starts on Thursday.
Fair enough.
Yep. You're following along.
I'm trying.
Excellently. All right. So just to let you know, so what kind of score would it take to get in? Well, the playoff went, five, six, seven holes. One guy got in after about three holes. He made an eagle. because eagles are better than birdies, and birdies are better than par, and those are easy, right? Those are no problem. It's kind of like, I don't know, two guys with more than 500 PGA Tour starts, you know, it's all easy, you know, no problem. Both guys got in, right, with eagles, right, after I think it took seven holes to get the seven guys down to two guys. It wasn't even like a birdie got you in. And, of course, you had to make birdies along the way just to keep yourself going, right, two tie, all, you know, right. And then those guys keep going. But you needed an eagle to get in. So they got their four guys. And one of the guys I wanted to bring up is this great guy, Eric Compton. And I played with this guy back in, I think it was 2002, in Canadian Q School down in Orlando at Champions Gate. And this guy, he ended up being either the medalist for the event. So this is like 17 years ago. This guy was fighting to be on the Canadian Tour.
Okay.
All right. With all due respect, is a very nice tour, but is probably four or five steps below the PGA Tour. He shot 65 and he got in. And a lot of people know his story because he's had the multiple heart transplants and he's just a really fantastic guy. Gives a lot back to the community, but he's an excellent player. But 17 years later, this guy's still Monday qualifying.
Right.
Right. And he's obviously an unbelievable player. And it's just, I love following this guy, Monday Q School. The guy cracks me up. It's great. You know. So what else is going on in the world? Over at Springdale Golf Club, we're starting to wrap up the Performance Center project for Princeton University for the two teams, Al. The building is just about done, and there's going to be a member open house, so everyone can come check it out on the 13th, Wednesday the 13th of March. Okay. And members are invited over. The two coaches will be there, Will Green, the men's coach, and Erica DeSani, two-time defending Ivy League champion of the women's coach. She's going to be there, and they're going to be there to answer a bunch of questions and give everybody a tour, and it looks really cool. I've been in there. I love it. It's awesome. It's an amazing amenity that we're going to have there at the club, and just a really exciting time to be a part of the direction that Springdale's going in and all the fun that we're going to have there this year. It's really, really cool. What else is going on in golf news? I bring this stuff up all the time. And the PGA Tour has now given approval, Al, to companies that are based upon gambling products, so like a FanDuel or DraftKings or something along those lines, to sponsor PGA Tour events. So I think this is somewhere in the step of like the fifth step that I've brought up, that the PGA Tour is going to embrace sports gambling kind of like the way the European Tour has over in England with Ladbrokes and so on and so forth. But it's kind of a cool thing that, like, down the road we might have, you know, someday the FanDuel you know, New Jersey State Open or something like that, and for the PGA Tour, and I think that's all very, very cool. Another thing we want to talk about is that today is March 1st, 2019. And this is a day that 10 years ago will live in infamy, Al. Today is my 10-year to the day anniversary of working at Springdale Golf Club.
Wow.
I was hired to start work on, thank you.
Golf Club.
Yep. Very apropos.
Thank you.
I love how you're catching on after 48 episodes. So, yeah, how about that? Yeah. So, 10 years I've been over at Springdale. That's so, I just want to thank all the different golf chairmen and board of governors and all the membership over there for the support and love they've given my family over the last 10 years. It's been a great, great time, and I'm looking forward to 10, 20 years more. Okay. 20, that gets me to, let's see, enough. So, but, you know, I was thinking to myself, what was going on in golf in 2009? 10 years ago seems like a long time ago, right?
It does, but it's
so,
not.
So, real quick, here's your four major winners in 2009. Masters, Angel Cabrera. U.S. Open, Lucas Glover. I told you you'd hear that name again. And he was at Bethpage. We're going back to Bethpage this year.
Right.
British Open, Stuart Sink had that famous win over Tom Watson when he made the run when he was 59. And the PGA was Y.E. Yang over Tiger Woods.
Wow.
So that kind of throws you back in time when you hear Angel Cabrera and Y.E. Yang are your bookend major winners 10 years ago. So, folks, you know, I'm getting a high sign from Al here, which means we're just about out of time. And I got to send you over to Doug Gottlieb for some more sports talk here on 920 The Jersey. That's Fox Sports. Folks, don't forget to look us up. If you missed part of the show today or you missed the opening wrap, you certainly missed something.
It sure did.
Yeah, indeed. So hit our podcast up on iTunes or Google Play, or look at our website, Podbean. You know, you can always give me all sorts of feedback on social media at KJPGA. So, folks, thanks to my producer on the board, Al Brooks, to all my listeners, Springdale Board of Governors, Troon Golf Management, and most importantly, everyone on the airwaves. I'm heading to Springdale, but where are you headed? We'll let the tower be your guide. And from Philly to Palm Beach Gardens, and of course, everywhere online, may you all have a Springdale day.
You've been listening to Springdale Golf Live with Keith Stewart. Keith returns to the tee next Friday afternoon at 3 on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.